9:40 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. It's happened. Donald Trump has been indicted on multiple federal criminal charges. He broke the news himself tonight in a post on his Truth Social website, then released a video.
So I just want to tell you, I'm an innocent man. I did nothing wrong. And we will fight this out just like we've been fighting for 7 years. It would be wonderful if we could devote our full time to making America great again.
Sources said that Trump is due to be arraigned in Miami on Tuesday. The U.S. Secret Service will be meeting with Trump's staff and his security team to develop a security plan for his travel and court appearance in Miami, which is expected to be very tight. Secret Service will also be scrutinizing the courthouse in Miami, conducting a threat assessment, and also coordinating with various law enforcement agencies for the security. Pat Milton, CBS News, Washington.
The air quality in parts of the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast have been dangerously bad the past few days. Philadelphia Health Commissioner Dr. Cheryl Bettigal says smoke from the Canadian wildfires is making it difficult for some people to go outside.
These levels of fine particulate or PM2.5 pollution can have health effects on any of us and are particularly dangerous to people with lung or heart conditions, to young children, older adults, and pregnant people.
Supreme surprise, the nation's highest court today ruled that a Republican-created congressional district map in Alabama violates the Federal Voting Rights Act. CBS News legal contributor Jessica Levinson says Chief Justice John Roberts voted with the majority.
What he really said today is that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act that guards against vote dilution, among other things, on the basis of race, still has teeth. That still has a place in our country.
There's a movement underway to slow the nation's worsening fentanyl-related overdose crisis. CBS's Jim Krasula has details.
At least 20 states have decriminalized fentanyl testing strips, which can help people who use drugs avoid exposure to the highly potent synthetic opioid that's ravaging the U.S. with overdose deaths. The strips are still technically illegal in some states under drug paraphernalia laws decades old.
The main suspect in the disappearance in 2005 of American student Natalie Holloway was handed over to U.S. law enforcement agents in Peru today. He landed in Birmingham, Alabama this afternoon. About a month ago, both countries agreed to the extradition of Jeroen Vandersloot. He's wanted in the U.S. on charges of extortion and wire fraud. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
At Lakeland Care, we build better lives. Located right here in northeastern Wisconsin, our staff lives and works in the areas we serve. Offering public and private care management options, we have a strong track record of success in helping members of our community live their happiest, healthiest, and most independent lives. Beyond care management, we now offer consulting, coaching, and training for individuals and organizations. Where you need us, when you need us, we're on your team. Visit LakelandCareInc.com to learn more.
If you're searching for a unique and environmentally conscious shopping experience in Milwaukee, your search ends at Clover. A haven for plant and art lovers in the area, Clover's plants are handpicked from Wisconsin-based wholesalers. In fact, Clover was recently recognized as one of the top 10 best plant shops in the Midwest by Midwest Living Magazine, and the gallery features the talent of 23 local women artist. Clover, women owned and operated and making a positive impact in the community. 2252 South Kinnickinnick Avenue in Milwaukee or online at clovermke.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harley's roar.
soar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
And more. Ticket info at loonsonthelake.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henry Cutter,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Native issues, Haley, are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, we'll have Robert Lilligren on today, and a Wendy, and Wendy's flying home tonight. I guess she's able to fly home through this all this pollution and stuff. So yeah, we'll be excited. I'll be excited to see her again. And, you know, Haley, while we're waiting for Robert to get on, as you all know out there, we're on a different time here. And so it's hard maybe to get acclimated to this. And I know I talked to Robert today, and it'll be fun to talk to him today. But we got some updates, too. What's going on around Turtle Island? And that would be you, Haley. Talk a little bit about the powwow and
the Turtle Island powwow.
Well, yes. The Two-Spirit powwow that's coming up that we were
yesterday. Yep.
And maybe talk for a little bit about that.
Yeah, we got our Two-Spirit powwow. So that's going to be New Native Theaters presenting this. This is going to be their second annual Reclaiming Our Identities Two-Spirit powwow. And that's going to be happening June 24th at South High School in Minneapolis. And that's 3131 19th Avenue is where that's at in Minneapolis. That's going to be starting from 10 a.m. and that's going to go to 8 p.m. So they're going to be out there all day. There's going to be dances, drums, of course, and a bunch of vendors and really good time. Yeah. So if you're in the area, definitely get out there and check that out.
Yeah, and we always want to remind our allies out there that have maybe never been to a powwow, you are always welcome. Just be respectful. And in, we've talked about this before with pictures and things like that. I always ask if you can take pictures. But also, you know, powwows are for everyone, you know. It's come celebrate our culture and watch these beautiful dancers and singers and just get acclimated with the Native American community in your community.
Yeah, it's a great way to meet people and meet leaders, you know, or just meet artists and Indigenous artists that you can support as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just talked to Robert and he's on his way. Robert is the Native American Community Development Institute CEO. And man, I was over at the Four Sisters today and they just got it going. they just got it going on over there, and great weather, and the people that work with Robert are just totally professional. He's got such a great crew there.
Did you see Destiny again? Our Ho Chunk sister?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We saw Destiny. Yep. And matter of fact, Destiny is, she runs the Four Sisters market. Yeah. Now. So that's her job. Yeah, I see her. And there was a, she was handing out tickets and getting people signed up for the drawing. So it was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. They had their raffle going on today too, as well. And that's every Thursday, right? That they have the Four Sisters?
Every Thursday from 11 to 2, which is a good time if you're want to get out for lunch or have a destination for lunch. That's on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. Have about 12 vendors there where they're, I know Dream of Wild Health is there, and they're bringing in and their own basic food that they've grown and are selling it. So, you know, whether it's vegetables and well, not so much fruit yet, but there's definitely vegetables. And I saw a couple other vendors that we work with. And speaking of vendors, too, I just want to let everybody and remind everyone, you know, Native Roots Trading Post is out at Target Field and in center field. And just if you go to the Twins game, just go out by entrance or exit 34, which is Kirby Puckett's old number. That's kind of in right center field. And we're in the creative corner where we're with two other BIPOC businesses in there. And we got wild rice. We got some earrings. We got Heck painting there. The first one sold for over $1,000, and now we have another one there. And we have, if you can't afford the original painting, you can definitely, we have posters there of the painting. And just to describe that, Haley, it's kind of the right field, kind of a dreamy look, kind of pinkish reddish look of the ground level right field. And there's a warrior on the horse, and then there's also Jim Thorpe, kind of a ghostly character over on the right side of the painting. And then you have Hall of Famer Chief Bender, who's from up north and an enrolled member. And I always say Red Lake, but it's not Red Lake. I got to look that up real quick. And so they're overseeing it, and they're one's pitching, one's hitting, and it's a beautiful, beautiful painting. And if you have a chance to, if you go to the Twins game and have a chance to go to the creative corner in right center field by entrance or exit 34, you'll be able to see our little show, little I don't know, it's not a pop out, but it's a little store there, you know. So
yeah,
so that's exciting. Hey, I see Robert, and, you know, Robert, I'm just babbling like a fool here. nothing new.
So but, as usual, Robert, is that what you're saying?
It's yeah, that's right. It's, hey, there's grass growing over here. It's very sacred, and you know, just telling stories. Well, we were just talking about the Four Sisters market today, and how cool it was, and
kind of a happening scene, wasn't it? It was
And it always is. And I really feel like it's a place to go and see people. Like Representative DeLong was there, and
right, Ho-Chunk Representative DeLong, Ho-Chunk Representative Robert Pilot,
and Representative DeLong ran into a friend of her daughter's who she hasn't seen in a long time, that's Ho-Chunk, that moved to Minneapolis and did not know she was there. So it was like not a reunion, but it was a great surprise. Well, and
yeah, I kind of a reunion. And there was just a lot of cool leadership there, a lot from the community, a lot of cute community people. It's just such a good place to be. So it goes Thursdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. through October 26th, right at our little building there where Powwow Grounds is. And stop on down. It's a happening scene.
Well, and what I was saying, too, is like you just never know who's going to be there. And run into somebody like Daniel, ran into someone you hadn't seen in a few years that's moving back to the city and wanted to hang out with some other urban Indians.
Yeah. Yep. No, it's a happening spot. It's a place to be. And I love it. And it, yeah, so I'd really encourage people to stop down. You know, they can run to Powwow Grounds if they want. Bob Rice, who the proprietor at Powwow Grounds, is always selling fry bread tacos, fry bread pizzas. Always, you know, he was packed today. I don't know if you went in inside.
I went in early to get a taco, fry bread taco. So and Danielle and I were talking business, and that's when she ran into her young friend, Ho Chunk friend.
Nice.
So nice. And, so we'll, and then, we got a minute left here in the segment. We'll let you settle in a little bit. And then we got two more big segments with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO. And you got a well-oiled machine there. And we're going to come right back, Robert. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
The cat liked it. Oh.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
On Saturday, June 17th, Metro Transit is making changes to transit service within your community. As they do each quarter, they review and analyze their resources and ridership trends. These service adjustments to routes continue Metro Transit's ongoing work to best serve customers throughout their system with their given resources. A summary of the upcoming service changes and a preview of the updated schedules are available now at metrotransit.org. That's metrotransit.org.
Hey, this is Robert Pilot. I taught in St. Paul Public Schools for over 25 years, and I want you to join the team and make a difference in our children's future. Right now, St. Paul Public Schools is offering hiring and retention bonuses up to $10,000 for a variety of teaching and classroom support positions for the next school year. Grow in a supportive and fulfilling public school setting. Limited bonuses are available, so don't delay. Apply at spps.org/careers.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with... I almost said Dr. Robert Lilligren. My mind here. We're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, which we like to call NACD. How did I do, Robert?
Yeah,
one in a row.
Excellent.
One in a row.
I was improving.
Cool. And we're just talking over what was happening at the Four Sisters here. I want to just shift gears with you, Robert, and the Republican Party is starting to amass many people running. We have Wendy and I talked about it because she's a former New Yorker, and we got the New Jersey governor, and we have Pence the next day showing up. And the only one that really seemed to talk real was the New Jersey former governor. And he,
Christie.
Right, and he... was in Trump's cabinet for the in the beginning and really didn't say anything. So I don't know how to take any of that, but at least one person's outing him a little bit.
More are. You're seeing DeSantis from Florida starting to be highly critical. Actually, all of his opponents now that it's a real race. And I think that's good, you know, in general for democracy, because ex-President Trump has a record, right? And you can comment on that. He has a pulpit and you can comment on that. And I'm loving all this. I saw even some fairly obscure, I think the Montana governor, was it?
Yeah.
And folks are jumping in the race. And it almost, to me, it feels like a strategy to kind of dilute the sort of power of Trump, you know. So I think that's kind of a good thing. And who knows where this will end up. If Trump is in jail, I think it's going to be very hard for him to run for president. And so being in second place is really a legitimate strategy.
Yeah, I would think so, too. The pundits are saying weird stuff like, oh, now he's got, like he did originally, all these other candidates that he can demoralize, talk down to, and really, you know, go after one or go after them all. I'm still in shock, Robert, because I kept on telling Wendy, oh, he's not going to win another he's not going to win another primary, and boom, he won again. Right. And I was just like, oh my God, what's going on right here?
Well, and even the first time around, you know, it was very shocking that he won. And you know, for me, a minor conspiracy theorist, but you have to acknowledge that he actually won with foreign interference.
Yes. Right?
So if there was an illegitimate election in the last decade, that was the illegitimate one. And so I was shocked on election night. And what was it, 2016? It seems so long ago.
Right.
But with the result. And in retrospect, it wasn't really an authentic and legitimate win. But it really disrupted our democracy, and I think that was the point, mm-hmm. that he was in to disrupt democracy. Many of Putin and Russians' most vocal sort of opponents have had their democracies interrupted. England with Brexit.
Oh.
If you're looking for sort of a world domination strategy, it's been an incredible one out of Russia.
Wow. You're right. And I think about, you know, because we're a little older, Robert, I think about Reagan getting a deal mm-hmm. with the Iranians and kind of throwing off Jimmy Carter. And they had it supposedly all set up, Carter's administration, to get the 52 hostages out of Iran. Right. And Reagan stopped it in the back rooms. I mean, these are both two things that are basically treason. You're talking to Iran, you're talking to right. Russia. I mean, basically.
Yeah. Right. And that's a strong word, right? Treason is an ugly word. And if there is treason in the environment or in the ecosystem, then we need to call it that and pursue mm-hmm. that. And I have felt since January 6th that we've been on a slow roll towards treason and charges of treason in a number of areas, and that's a really severe crime yeah. in this country. But if it's treason, it's treason, and we right. should prosecute it as such.
Well, and it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Ronald Reagan, Richard Nixon with the bombing of Cambodia, right. all these deals that are going on in the background that are and Reagan and I mean Trump dealing with the Russians, and of course January 6th. Right. I just don't think the press does that. But, I mean, if you're in the military and do anything close to that, you are in prison for a long time without even a blink of thinking about, should we convict this person?
Right. I agree. And even back when, I mean, it was so shocking to watch that on TV on January 6th, right? We had never seen anything like that, certainly not on TV. And you know, people were like, why aren't they arresting them, prosecuting them? And it's like these wheels of justice kind of roll slowly. And I don't think, you know, the Department of Justice or anyone is going to rush into sort of treasonous charges. And so I've respected kind of the time that's been taken and that these cases are airtight by mm-hmm. the time they get into court. These folks are going to jail, as they should.
Well, and Robert,
they're hiding so well. It amazes me how well they're hiding.
Well, Robert, too, we got over 1,000 convictions of people that were doing selfies, There was just somebody that came out. I just heard this guy that was an actor that was in a bunch of movies that was there in the insurrection, that were, you know, insurrection. And I mean, they're arresting these people, but the head rabble rousers are still laughing it off.
Some are, some aren't. Some are going to jail, and that's good to see. And I just read this thing today that one of my favorite slow motion train wrecks that I can't look away from is Congressman Santos in New York. And, you know, this hideous liar is, you know, pathological. It's just,
yeah,
it's just incredible. But his attorney, his lead attorney, and all these, he's facing like 13 felony charges right now, or 13 federal charges. And his lead attorney was inside Capitol grounds on January 6th. And it's like, yuck. It's like how enmeshed all of this corruption is and how gullible some voters can be that they continue to support this. And of course, Santos is running for re-election, which blows my mind completely, but and defending his, you know, position. But yeah, that just came out, I think, today. And it's these online sleuths who are finding the identity of these people.
That's right. And even back to the Tiki boys, I do remember with the Tiki, they had their little Tiki fires, and that was after.
The Tiki churches.
But those people, like, were outed because they were all on camera and doing selfies, too, and losing their jobs. You know, just the little Nazis running around with Tiki torches.
Self-described Nazis, right? Yeah. I mean, it's like we're hurling insults at them or anything, and they were proud of it. And people died at that demonstration, you know, or someone, you know. But that whole Tiki torch thing was so goofy. And so we'll see, you know, the impacts of social media on democracy. It's kind of profound. And we'll kind of see what wins, or at least in the next sort of generation of elections and things. But for me, I feel like the more exposed all of this icky underbelly dark side stuff is, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I was more active in politics, we'd always say, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just bring some sunlight into this, you know.
I was in total denial, and I guess I don't want to talk too much more about this, but I was just thinking, Robert, that I was seeing posts of caravans going to Washington, D.C. on the 5th and the 4th, and I'm going, oh, they're not going to have that many people down there. And oh, my God, they had a bunch.
Right, but really, I mean, it was a bunch, and it's shocking, and it was just enough to disrupt and distract, right? It wasn't enough to accomplish their mission, which was to decertify the election and or at least disrupt the business of Congress long enough that certain states could go into turmoil. And, you know, they failed. They completely failed on that. It wasn't enough people, and that's a good thing. But it's also hard to see this sense that we're careening towards some sort of civil disruption, civil war, war of political ideologies that's so geographically dispersed. But it's not numerically dispersed, right? We know where the majority of Americans are. We know what they're thinking, you know. I love the statistic that when Vice President Kamala Harris votes in Congress or in the Senate, you know, she breaks ties as a president of the Senate. She is voting for something like 60 million more Americans than a Republican would be. And so, you know, elections are a numbers game. Democracy is very much based on those numbers. And so it means people have to get their butts into voting booths.
Right.
To make sure who's making the decisions here.
Absolutely. And stay informed, too, I think. You know, we're kind of political junkies, Robert, you and I, but I don't think a lot of people know the things that are going on and how far history is being turned into a bad, bad horror story. So, hey, I'm here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO, and we're just having a conversation. We probably should switch the subject there because we were a little downer there on that. But, you know,
maybe we could talk about Pride or something. Pride. It's Pride Month.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Hey, this is Native.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup starting at 6 AM. Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show on 540 AM WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. CBS News has learned that Donald Trump has been indicted on numerous federal charges. CBS News legal analyst Jessica Levinson says she'll be looking at whether he's charged with one crime in particular.
Where does the Espionage Act kick in? Because even if you originally lawfully have certain government documents, you can't retain those documents under certain circumstances and or disseminate those documents under certain circumstances. So one of the things I'm really looking for is, do they focus on retention or dissemination when it comes to these charges?
Trump himself broke the news of his indictment earlier tonight. Then he released a video on his Truth Social website.
Our country is going to hell. And they come after Donald Trump, weaponizing the Justice Department, weaponizing the FBI. We can't let this continue to go on because it's ripping our country to shreds.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
It's time you checked out Champions Pub on Milwaukee's East Side, a classic Milwaukee tavern since 1956. Champions is a comfortable place to gather and enjoy a drink over a game of shuffleboard, cribbage, bags, golden tea, or just relax in its sunny beer garden or covered deck. Champions Pub has something for everyone. It's a great place to escape the usual bar crowds and hide out for drinks and conversation. Stop by Champions Pub and enjoy its good service and low-key neighborhood atmosphere.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Hall.
Open Wednesdays through Saturdays beginning at 4:30. Stop by for cocktails and light bites. More at CrootersLoungeMN.com.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Yes, they are. Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren and the CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis and then the corridor of Franklin Avenue. And Robert, there's people from all over the country here for out in Shakopee, and people were rolling into the powwow grounds that were at the gathering, and they were just really impressed with what's happening here and how we have a corridor and that we have people coming in, natives, and the four season thing. And you've seen this grow over the years. You must be really proud about people coming in and just being really amazed by what work is being done.
You know, it's so cool. And so you're talking about the NCAI, right? The National Congress of American Indian Conference. And there were a ton of people that came down to Four Sisters, went to Powell Grounds, the coffee shop. A lot went through the gallery with the incredible exhibit we have going on there. We had some youth groups that came out to tour the gallery specifically. I think we had three or four gallery tours today, which was just super cool. And it is. I mean, and I thank you for saying that, Robert. And, you know, we have this American Indian Cultural Corridor, very identifiable American Indian geography here within the city of Minneapolis. It's really important to our Native community. And I really love the work that NACD's done in taking a people and community capacity approach to building up the American Indian Cultural Corridor, rather than just building a bunch of buildings, right? And saying, okay, here, this is the cultural corridor. Instead, we're claiming it from the ground up. And and there's been so many high water marks, especially in the last few years, around our progress. And I felt today was one of them. I got to tell you the coolest story. Mm-hmm. So we had these Southwest relatives from Albuquerque, New Mexico, who toured the gallery today. And they're from an organization kind of like NACTI, but in Albuquerque. And two of their group needed to be on their board meeting at a certain time. And so they asked if they could use our conference room. And you know how tight our office space is. We're like, sure, we're good relatives. Come on in. And so throughout the part of the afternoon, these two folks were sitting in their board meeting, you know, online and stuff. And I just thought, this is so cool. This is, you know, this is it. This is it working.
Yeah, exactly. And I really, you know, we talk a little bit about this, but, you know, people talk about the res and all that. I'm really proud to be in this community of urban Indians. And we talk, Danielle and I were kind of talking about that. It's so unique here in the Twin Cities. Things have happened either because or, you know, we were talking about American Indian movement, or did it start because there was a lot of urban Indians that could start it? You know, it's just a good place to be. And we know people in the community. And I don't know, I always have a good time Thursday. It reminds me of a lot of good thing that's happened here.
I'm so glad. It's always good to see you. You know, there's always that urban reservation dynamic, and that's just part of life in the Indian community, right? And you know, my vision and approach has always been, working together, we're stronger to serve our people from our nations, but also our people more broadly. And as you know, in this urban community, we have dozens, scores of different nations represented in the population. And so how do we balance that? And I think we've made really good progress in the last years, but places like the Four Sisters Farmers Market are places where we come together and have those conversations.
Right. Exactly. And the Indian Center is being worked on, and that's
always doesn't it look great?
It's moving pretty quick.
It'll be, the big goal is to open it on May 1st, which is American Indian Kickoff Month in Minnesota and Minneapolis. So May 1st, 2024.
Wow, that's exciting. So, hey, before you jumped on, Haley and I were talking about the powwow that's coming up by the new Native Theater, the Two-Spirit powwow.
Yeah.
But also, you mentioned before the break, too, how we're celebrating this month.
Right. So you're talking about the Two Spirit Powwow on June 24th, right? Mm-hmm. 12 to 7 p.m. at South High here in Minneapolis. It's just thrilling. I just responded to the Facebook invitation a little earlier today. But just overall, you know, kind of the Two Spirit awareness, the reclaiming of Two Spirit people and mm-hmm. sort of replacing Two Spirit people's position in our cultures after the interruption of colonization. And it's just been so rewarding to see as a Two Spirit person. And then I don't know if you can see this behind me, but this the photo is the
bridge.
Replacement 35W bridge, right? Lit for Pride the first time. And that happened while I was on city council, and the bridge collapsed while I was on Minneapolis city council and we replaced it. And I knew these lights were an amenity. But, and I had a friend that lived close by there and he said, hey, can those be lit for Pride colors? And so I asked and the answer was, yes, they can. But the answer I got from the then Republican Governor Pawlenty administration was they would never approve that. And then not. And so elections happen. Mark Dayton was elected our governor. And we approached him again. We crafted a policy for local communities to request these lights to be lit. And this was the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was. So it was one of my things. I said, if we're going to work on this, I want to do the first. And so my city council office worked on the light configuration, the pier coloring, the timing of it and stuff. So my point being, you know, this is just a representation of how elections matter and mm-hmm. a place at the table matters. And so whether it's Native issues, Two-Spirit issues, you know, this is, it's just becoming clear to me in my elder years, just getting to that table matters.
Yeah, no doubt. And you just jarred my memory on how much of a supporter Dayton was to mm-hmm. Native Americans,
or right.
former governor.
Right. So, yeah, Mark Dayton, and he sort of kicked off this era of Democratic governors here. And we were parts of groups, you know, and at the time we didn't think he was being as responsive as he could be. Remember, he was a big hunter's rights guy. Right. For one thing, he was kind of supportive of pipeline projects. And mm-hmm. But at least we had the access to get to the table, to remonstrate with them, say, we're not agreeing with you. And I think it really set the table for the Walt Flanagan administration here, which, of course, has our first ever Native Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, my wider sister, and the highest ranking executive in government in the country.
You know, talking to people, well, even just in Wisconsin, but all across Turtle Island, the governor of Minnesota spoke today in Shakopee, and I was not there. I did not know he was going to speak, but I had a few things I had to take care of and, of course, come to the market. He got a standing ovation. And great. I got texts, people saying, you are lucky to have this governor. And that blew my mind, too.
Oh, I think we're super lucky. And I think he's being really smart and strategic, right? He's showing what unified democratic government can do in a state. And we're seeing these states kind of crashing and burning with this total Republican control. So now here's a different example, right? We can lift this up. We can show people in the 2024 presidential elections, this is what people-centered government can accomplish. And they really accomplished amazing things.
I know. I mean,
just amazing.
It was mentioned not everything passed, and maybe it was you that said that last week, but a majority of things did, and that's the thing we need to hang our hat on, you know, is the things that passed.
A lot of good things passed. I mean, when especially we were talking about capital projects with the Native mm-hmm. community, and so we didn't get everything, but for me, that's, you know, the sort of governance, government, politics. It's not this vote. It's not this session. I mean, it is in some ways, but it's making sure that we're strategically setting ourselves up for the next vote, for the next session. And that means giving a little sometimes, and that doesn't mm-hmm. always feel good. But I'm a long game player. I'm a strategic guy when it comes to government and to legislation.
Well, and you remember, too, the missing and murdered indigenous relatives did not pass the first time. It was an ominous bill.
I don't think it passed the first or the second, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
But it passed.
And it passed on both sides supporting it.
Right.
So that, right. So that has to happen.
And so that's how you build power, right? So it's not instantaneous. It wasn't instantaneous to cause all the damage that government could cause. And so it's not going to be instantaneous to heal it, but it can be healed.
Cool. Well, we got a couple minutes left. Wendy's coming home tonight, even though New York is totally, covered with soot and smoke and from the Canada. I guess the planes are flying more on time. But she always likes me to say, ask Robert what he wants to talk about. So I'm going to give you the platform here for the next 2 minutes. And
you know, we got so much through so much, but I will bring up another thing about the importance of representation, the importance of being at the table. And just over the last few days, I got recommended and then invited to be part of a panel called the 22nd Century, I think it's called. It's a conference coming up here in Minneapolis, and they wanted to talk about some of the stuff that we've done here to advance the Native communities' causes. And one of the things they want to focus on is the Memo of Understanding and the MOU with the City of Minneapolis and MUD leadership, Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors Leadership. And it's this groundbreaking document that's been updated and refreshed over the years that frames and describes how the local Native community organizational leadership, at least, wants to be engaged by the City of Minneapolis. And it is groundbreaking. It was an initiative of my first term on the Minneapolis City Council, generated from the community, from the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors. But it's just another really good example of what we could do when we had a place at the table.
Yeah. Wow. And all the great work and that you've done. I appreciate you, Robert. Appreciate you being on the show, really, and speaking these good words about our community and what's going on. And just our little chats, too, about what's happening nationally. I really enjoy it.
Me too.
All right. Hey, that was Robert Lilligren. Up next, Wendy talking about Fun Facts Thursday now. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break. Thanks again, Robert. We'll be back. When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
Minnesota has made history by becoming the 12th state to pass paid family and medical leave into law. Starting on January 1st, 2026, you can take up to 12 weeks of paid leave when welcoming a new family member, facing a health challenge, or caring for a loved one. No longer will you have to choose between your job and your health or family. Join us in extending a heartfelt thank you to our legislators for their unwavering commitment to Minnesota families.
Paid for by Isaiah. Visit isaiahmn.org to learn more.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
It's a cat just howled. Hey, we're here with our sacred animal portion of the show, which we've been doing for 7 years, and Wendy's been leading the way talking about our relatives with ears, hooves, tails, fins, and we're always excited. We've asked Wendy to come on tonight. She's coming home, big pollution in New York, and she's going to be able to come home to Minnesota, and we're really happy about that. We've asked her to come on and do a pre-record here for our sacred animal section and kind of jump into a fun fact pre-Friday.
Yes, exactly, Robert. Hey, everybody. My name is Hannah Giuntani. That means cares to them. I was given that name by my Dago Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. And yes, we will have a pre-Thursday fun fact Thursday today. I'm reading from the hashtag fact site, Science, Nature, and Animals. We have 300 random animal facts by Luke Ward, and I started this quite a few weeks ago. And we're starting from number 300 and we're working our way up to number one. But here's another one, Robert. You're going to be shocked about this. You too, Haley. Blue whales have large enough aortas, the main blood vessel, for a human to crawl through.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah, and blue whales happen to be the largest animal in the world.
Not just mammal, but animal, right?
Animal, yeah, wow. That's right. I think maybe it is a mammal, but yeah, mammal. The largest mammal in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, a blue whale, yep. Giraffe heart pump twice as hard as a cow's to get blood to its brain. I would imagine that, right? Because they have that long, long neck. So their heart really has to pump that blood up to their brain. Wow, I never even thought about that.
That is crazy. That's a long way. It's a story up.
I know. Yeah. Penguins can jump 6 feet out of the water. Swimming around, they can jump 6 feet.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
They can dance too, I hear. No, that's a movie. Never mind.
The Happy Feet.
Happy Feet. That's right. I love that cute little movie. That's from quite a few years ago, but I remember watching that movie. Bumblebees have hair on their eyes. Wow. That must be pretty uncomfortable.
How do they shave, Wendy?
Tuna fish can swim 40 miles in a single day.
Oh. I believe that. They look kind of big and muscular, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. Cats, another cat fact here. Cats can hear ultrasound.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Here's a turkey fact. Turkeys have a poor sense of smell, but an excellent sense of taste. Yeah. So they would say, you know, I like grapes, or I don't like this or that. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Goats do not have teeth in their upper front jaw.
They don't?
Yeah.
Weird.
Goats do not have teeth in their upper front jaw.
Hmm.
Baby whales grow to a third of their mother's length in the womb. Wow. That's big.
Yeah, it is.
And elephants don't drink through their trunks like a straw. Like a lot of people think that elephants drink through their, you know, their nose like a straw, but they don't.
That's true.
They might suck
That's
it up.
True.
They might suck it up, but then they spray it in their mouth. That's how I think it works, but I'm not exactly sure. So maybe somebody could look that up. The breeding age for a male goat is between 8 and 10 months. Wow, we get started early.
That's very young.
It is. French poodles did not originate in France. They came from Germany.
Yeah, those Europeans, they all co-mingled back in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't it the King and Queen of England? Weren't they really Germans from way back?
I don't know.
To say yes.
Okay, yeah.
The crown.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
When a male tiger and a female lion mate, they have a tigon. When a male lion and a female tiger mate, they have a liger. Let me repeat that. It's a little confusing. When a male tiger and a female lion mate, they have a tigon. And when a male lion and a female tiger mate, they have a liger.
Okay.
I didn't know anything about that.
I think you're making stuff up now.
I think I am too. The Maenads, M-A-Y-A-N-S, the Maenads and Aztecs symbolize every 10th day with the dog, and those born under this sign were believed to have outstanding leadership skills.
Did you mean the Mayans? Was that the Mayans?
Yeah, is it? The Mayan and Aztec symbolized every 10th day with the dog, and those born under this sign were believed to have outstanding leadership skills. Well, I know the Chinese calendar, I was born under the year of the rat. So
I think I'm the ox, the ear of the
ox.
Ear, I don't know. Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Chinese calendar.
Something uncool like the ox. I don't know. Uh-huh. The rat's kind of cool.
I think the rat is very cool. Yeah.
Next tattoo, Wendy.
Ratatouille.
You got it.
Right on.
Flamingos are pink. You know why?
Why?
Do you have any idea why flamingos are pink?
Well, some sort of pigment, but because they're albino, I don't know.
Yeah, flamingos are pink because shrimp is one of their main sources of food.
So they eat the shrimp and then it comes out pink on their feathers? Is that what's happening?
Well, according to this fun fact, that's exactly right. Back, listen, this is a funny one. Back in 1924, a monkey was convicted in South Bend of the crime of smoking a cigarette and sentenced to pay $25 fine.
What?
Yeah. A monkey in 1924 was convicted in South Bend of the crime of smoking a cigarette and sentenced to pay a $25 fine.
South Bend, Indiana?
I don't know. It's South Bend. I don't know.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Okay, so we were talking about a vole and a mole at one point. Maybe that's on tomorrow's contract. But a mole can dig a tunnel 300 feet long in just one night.
Whoa.
That's pretty long. Yeah, just one night. That's crazy.
Wow. Give us one more one.
Okay. After eating, a horsefly regurgitates its food and then eats it again. That's gross.
That is so nasty.
Here's one, really quick.
Hurry.
There are almost 60 million dogs in the United States. Please spay and neuter your pet and adopt, do not shop.
Right on. Easy. Good way to end it. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. Peeny Geeky, Wendy, for the fun facts and all you do for being on the show for the last 7 years. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.